For your presence here on this rainy day. Today we will hear the story of the Emmaus Road experience and encounter. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And particular attention to the phrase at the end of the Gospel reading that as he was made revealed or made known in the breaking of the bread. It's been a special phrase to me as it connects to the Eucharist. So I pray that tonight the Lord would be revealed to you in a special way, and that the Eucharist would be an opportunity for your continuing Easter encounter with the risen Christ. Lord, we thank you for this day, and thank you for the rain, and we thank you for the safety and sanctuary of this space. May your word, silence, sacrament, and reflections speak to us and open our hearts to encounter you and know you more really. In Christ we pray.
Staying in a place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart for God's word. The first reading today is taken from Acts chapter 3. Peter and John were going up to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, rise and walk." Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leapt up, stood, and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what happened to him. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 105. Give thanks to the Lord, invoke his name, make known among the nations his deeds. Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim all his wondrous deeds. Glory in his holy name, rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. You, descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, his judgments prevail. He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham by his oath to Isaac. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 24. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for the day it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. But he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us?' So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread." The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
the whole purpose of Jesus is for people to experience God. And if we keep that in mind, the whole thing just becomes a very beautiful. That human beings like you and me, this very second, and every moment of our lives, are spiritual beings and physical beings. And there's never a time, I would wager, where you were having a direct experience with God, apart from the means of grace of some intermediary thing, person, sound, place. If you just think about it, I would wager there's probably never been a moment in your life when you were experiencing God apart from some means of grace that wasn't God. And that's the way it is on this planet. And that's what makes nature, sanctuaries, sacred writings, other people. You could even go so far as to say angels, so important in our spiritual journeys. Because we need help to experience God's presence. And the baseline for every single one of us, the environment and the condition and the very atmosphere in which any one of us is ever experiencing God's presence or the means of grace of, that conveys God's presence is consciousness. At no point are we ever experiencing anything apart from the field of consciousness until consciousness drops away. So consciousness becomes the common denominator of God's grace for all human beings. And our subjectivity can never be pulled out of us so that we are completely objective. So these things keep us humble. Number one, that we need a means of grace to experience God in the first place. Number two, that we're always experiencing God's presence through a means of grace. Number three, that we're always, no matter what, experiencing God's grace and God's presence through our lens of consciousness, or self, just to put it bluntly. And so it keeps us humble. We can't do it on our own. We will never know Almighty God on our own, apart from some means of grace, on this side of the grave, as far as we know. After we die, clearly things open up and the options become bigger. But I don't know anything about that. So the thing I wanted just to build on off of that principle that we are always experiencing God's presence by ways of a means of a grace. And in these passages of Scripture, we're given hints of the means of grace that have become living energies in the Christian church. The first is the living energy of a person, a representative, who speaks in the name of Jesus Christ. So Peter becomes the means of grace to this cripple. And the energy by way of the name of Jesus Christ flows through Peter as a representative and does something to this cripple. So people become means of graces to us that convey God and God's energy to us. Jesus is the model of that, the human being, the new human being who's representing God to humanity. Peter continues in that tradition. The Apostle Peter continues in that tradition. And it's a really amazing thing because Jesus is off the stage and now another person takes that role as a vessel of grace following in the shadow of Jesus. which is an indication to us that this wasn't just limited to Jesus, that the means of grace is available for each of us to become vessels of God's presence to other people and vessels of healing of God's grace to other people. And this is the apostolic mission that we're all sent on and caught up in. If we can get out of our own stories and notice the people that have need and speak from the place of power of being miracle-minded, in the name of the miracle, stand up. Don't be conditioned by your thoughts. Don't be conditioned by your fears. Don't be conditioned by what your senses are telling you about your body. Stand up and rise. Believe a different story about yourself. And if we walk around with that kind of mindset, it has an impact on other people. And it's not just pastors and preachers and whatever. In fact, they're oftentimes the least ones to listen to. It's everyone else who is the common manifestation of God's love to the people you're interacting with. If you can stay in that vertical, miracle-minded place of self-remembering, it's amazing the kind of grace we are to other people when we're self-remembering. And we don't need to know that we are doing anything. We don't even need to look back at our wake, you know, and see, oh, what a wake I'm leaving here. We just get to experience the joy of the Lord flowing through us in our own unique way and using our own charisms. So even God has to use the means of grace of a human being named Jesus to minister to human beings. And that grace continues through Peter. The grace of Jesus Christ ministers through Peter. So notice the gradation. God Almighty scaled down through this incarnation named Jesus. Jesus, the living Christ, scaled down by the power of the Holy Spirit through those who follow the name of Jesus Christ. And those who follow the name of Jesus Christ scaled down through their words and through their thoughts and through their affect are all means of grace. We're never God, but we are part of the great ray of creation that conveys the means of grace in our unique human way. Not in the same way that Jesus did, a similar way. Through the covenant that we heard about, this beautiful covenant becomes the means of grace for Israel and then gets built upon by Jesus and the new covenant community called the church. And then finally, this amazing story of the Emmaus Road and becomes a pattern for us as the church throughout history, the last 2,000 years at least. And also in Judaism and Islam, we see this very clearly, the importance of the Word of God and how it inflames or enkindles the heart. I love that phrase. Were not our hearts burning within us as we heard him speak? So there's something about the Word of God as it is articulated by someone who's teaching that inflames the human heart, and that has been the tradition and the condition for spiritual growth as a means of grace since the beginning of time. That the Word of God is alive and active, that it's a part of this universe, the created universe that we see. In the beginning, God spoke, and there was. In the beginning was the Word of God, and the Word of God became flesh. And the apostolic mission is still continuing based on Jesus' modeling of teaching through the Scriptures and pointing to the presence of God. And it has a tendency to quicken people at a spiritual level. And that's why the Bible is so reverenced, and because in many ways we're just following that Emmaus story, that you use the ancient story of Scripture to point to the presence of God as a means of grace. So the Bible becomes one of these means of graces. Word, or what I would call the Bible, Word, Scripture, and Sacrament, right here in the Emmaus story. And the last thing is that they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And that's this beautiful invitation to the Eucharist as a means of grace to experience God scaled down. Now, this is a great mystery, and clearly the bread becomes something in our consciousness, is not dependent upon our consciousness, but pierces through the veil of our consciousness and from time to time can reveal something to us beyond the physical form of that bread. It becomes a means of grace of the presence of God. It's the continuing incarnation right here. Jesus' body was the first incarnation of the God power, and the Eucharist, for whatever reason, is the continuing incarnation of that God power. And what I love about the Eucharist most of all is that it's so humble and earthy, and it's so easy not to believe in, because our senses say this is just bread and it tastes like bread, and it is bread. It's so easy just to dismiss it. Who in their right mind would build a religion around the Eucharist? No one. Who in their right mind would build a religion over the resurrection? No one. No one would. That's why I know it to be true at an intellectual level, and it's these moments of grace where I have felt the recognition of the presence through someone else, through nature, through scripture teaching, and through Eucharist that have verified in my life the means of grace are still alive and active and very much conveying the scaled down power of God in our life. So it's something to really ponder. A couple of weeks ago I was at New Camaldoli Hermitage, and every evening or every afternoon there's Eucharist every day, and one of the fathers, the priests, gives the homily. It's the favorite moment of the day for me, mostly. And after the homily, then we go to the Eucharist. And every priest is different. And on the other 4 days had gone by, and I had listened to the homilies to various effect in me. One homily I slept through. Another homily, it was interesting. Another homily I disagreed with. Another homily irritated me. And then one homily started to squeeze me like a sponge. And the presence of God was coming through that homily, that priest's energy. The tone of his voice, the words, and the Christic energy that is infused to the word, the human word. And it started to squeeze me like a high-pressure system coming into that room. And I've learned not to resist this when it happens, and I just started to weep. And I felt quite embarrassed because I was sitting in the front row, but weeping, quietly weeping, just like getting squeezed. And I was overwhelmed by the presence of God through the means of grace of this simple priest, who I normally didn't like. I look at him and I judge him from time to time. I will admit, I don't like the way his feet look. Why doesn't he take better care of his feet? And judging him. And all of a sudden, I'm experiencing the presence of God like I have rarely experienced the presence of God, healing me from the inside out. In the breaking of the bread, I recognized him. In the hearing of the word, I recognized him. In the countenance of a friend, I recognized him. In the beauty of a sunset, I recognized him. And so I am a spiritual encounter junkie, and I know you are too, not because it feeds an addiction, but because it sets us free from ourselves and heals us little by little. So really it's all about God, the mystery of God scaled down at the various levels for us to develop on this planet to the extent that we possibly can. And these are beautiful reminders in these stories in the first week of Easter that the power of God continues to this very moment on this planet, even though Jesus is nowhere to be found. Amen. Holy and precious name. Amen. Thank you for your presence here this evening. Blessings on this Easter week. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.